There are some things that I'm absolutely sure of when it comes to fatherhood, and for our purposes today, here are a few. I'm sure that we like to have fun, that we really want to teach our kids good things, and that we all want to have traditions set up with our kids that we can be a part of and participate in throughout the course of our life. So I've got something for you today. Welcome to Fathering Our Future. I'm Anthony Vandegrift. I am not the perfect dad, but every day I am trying to be better. And just like you, I love to have fun, love to laugh, love to just have a wonderful time. I truly desire to teach my kids good things. That's what I'm supposed to do as a father. If I'm supposed to bring them up as disciples, good things get included in that. And I want to have traditions set up with my kids so that when I'm old, that they can come and still do things with me that we used to do when they were little. And we can accomplish that through games. We can play games with our kids. Now, it might not work with just any games, but I've got some ideas for you if your kids are still young. I think you can still incorporate this even if your kids are older, but this is something that I have found to be so enjoyable with my young kids, and I want to share with you what I do and what I think you should do too. If you want to be a part of helping dads grow as disciple makers and making them aware of Fathering Our Future, you can help. And here is what I want you to do. I want you to leave a 5-star rating for this podcast and write a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'll take a screenshot of that and send it to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com, I have a gift for you. I wrote a book called Cut the Crap, Direct Tips for Becoming a Dad. I cannot send you the physical copy, but I will send you the electronic copy of this book. And technically, you'll get a little bit more because the ebook has additional references that are linked all throughout it. So this is my gift for you for rating and reviewing this podcast. Again, send that to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com. And by doing that, you're helping create awareness of this podcast, and ultimately, you're helping dads grow as disciple makers. Our scripture for this week comes from Matthew 19:14. It reads as follows. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Well, if you're tuning in and watching the video on YouTube, if you didn't know that, you can go to Fathering Our Future at YouTube and you can watch all of this and see my pretty face. But if you are watching, you probably noticed that things look a little bit different. My mic is not freestanding today. I am actually having to hold it, and I'm on a couch and not at the little desk that I typically sit at. It's not that I have this beautiful, awesome, wonderful set behind me anyway, so I figured, what the heck, let's roll with this. We're in the process of moving. And if you've ever done that, I think you know what we're going through right now. Everything is partially in boxes and it's a bit chaotic. So I got to make this happen. And the other thing is I'm not 100%, as you can probably tell by my voice. I'm not 100%. I found out yesterday, in fact, that I have bronchitis. But you already know, ain't nobody got time for that. So I had to do this podcast anyway because I care about you. I value you as a dad, and I want to help you as much as I can so that you can grow as a father and so that you can raise disciples and so that together all of us can father our future. And that's our goal. That's our mission. That's the whole point of this podcast, is to help you as I do things. I want to help you with things. I want us to understand that God is going to be the one who helps us do all of this, and together we accomplish this goal of fathering our future. So, yes, I have bronchitis. Yes, I woke up this morning with my right eye crusted shut, so I also have pink eye, probably due to a 3-year-old who had it earlier this week. I'm falling apart. I'm having a good time. I do want to talk to you about chaos at another point, but I just want you to know, when everything starts to fall apart, instead of just being moved, just try being still, try enjoying it, try laughing at the chaos. There's nothing that I can do to fix this other than go through the regimen of the medications and stuff that I have to take, which honestly, I look at all the pills that I'm taking every day and I feel like I'm 95 years old, but here I am and here we go. So I'm talking to you today about playing games with your kids. And I don't just mean Hi-Ho Cheerio or whatever Candyland type games that you can get for kids. I think that there is something better that we can do with our kids that will help us with these things that we want as fathers. And it will help them too. It's not just selfish. It's not just about us. But having fun, we'll have fun, and so will our kids. And we'll teach them lessons. We'll help them tremendously through playing the right games. And we'll set these traditions up to where you can play a game with your kid now when they're young, and when you're old, it will just be this natural thing that they want to go back to and play their game that they always played with dad. So I recommend that you try playing games that are not age appropriate for your children right now. Now, I don't mean inappropriate games that they have for adults. I mean games that require a little more thought than your child is probably capable of. So you have checkers, you have chess, but my recommendation to start is Mancala. Now, if you've never played Mancala, it's a very easy game. The board, it basically unfolds. Most of them unfold so that you can keep everything together. It's got all these little stones. It's got these two bins on each end. Those are the Mancalas where you keep everything. But you have your six little bins in front of you, four stones in each, and it's just basically counting. Now, there's strategy that goes into it because you have to move everything. You can steal in particular scenarios, and every time you pass your Mancala, you get to put one in, and the goal is to get the most stones in your Mancala. It's counting, which most kids at a very young age know how to count, so they're capable of doing this. And along the way, you can kind of teach them the strategy. So I started this with my son. Oh, he was probably 4 or 5 years old. I play with my other daughter, Reagan, probably since the time she's been 4. She's 5 now. I even play with my 3-year-old. Now, she doesn't get the strategy, but she can count, and I can kind of help point her, but it's the exposure. Now, there's wonderful things that can come from this, but I want to warn you of this. Don't force your kid to do this. Don't force your kid to do this because you think, well, Anthony said that if I do this, we'll have fun. I'll teach them good things and we'll start a tradition. If you don't make it fun, if you don't set it up the right way, it's not going to do any of those things. It's going to be an absolute drag. They'll learn absolutely nothing and they will never want to play this with you ever. So don't force them to do this. Just say, hey, do you want to try a different game that daddy really likes to play? I'd like to teach you how to play it, and I'd love to play this game with you. You can set it up the right way, and then you can get these three little checks that we're going for in today's episode. But I'm going to recommend Mancala. It's a very easy game. You can YouTube it. You can ask me for a better explanation somehow, some way, and I'm happy to help you. But starting out with a game like this gives you some really good opportunities. The first thing is time together. If you've listened to this podcast enough, you should know that the most valuable commodity you have to give to your children is your time. Kids need our time. When kids have learning issues, often it's because they're not getting enough time. When kids feel lonely, it's because they're not getting enough time. When kids start to reserve themselves and not want to discuss things, it's probably because they're not getting enough time. I've talked about this multiple times on this podcast. Kids just love being with you. I remember this time at the playground, my wife and I took the kids. We go to the park and there was two little girls. There was a car that was parked behind us along the curb, and these two little girls were just leaning up against the car, and it appeared to be the mother and the father in the car, and I'm pretty sure they were doing some sort of drugs. I don't know. But eventually, the older girl, probably around the age of my son, came to the playground, started to play with the kids, didn't say anything, wasn't really smiling, wasn't really laughing. A few minutes later, the father comes out of the car, goes to the playground. She runs to meet him before he gets there, and he plays with her. He was under the influence, but he's playing with his daughter, and she is just lighting up. she smiled and she giggled and she laughed because all she cared about was having time with daddy. Our kids want time with us. And when we play games with them, that requires our time. That requires our presence. And so our kids get that. And so this is an opportunity that we have where we get to do something, something that might not be, you know, getting our nails painted by our daughters or sitting down for an imaginary tea party or doing something that maybe doesn't give us this great sense of fulfillment because we as adult men don't necessarily like to do these little childish things. It's sometimes more fun, but it's a way for us to give time to our children. Playing games gives us the opportunity to give time to our kids. So incorporate this into your weekly routines with your kids. If there's a downtime, if your kids are watching too much TV or you feel like they're on their little device way too much, break it up and say, hey, let's play a game. And then you get that one-on-one time and they're just with you. That is invaluable to your kids. So playing games gives you time together. The other thing is you can help them learn a little bit. So with Mancala specifically, there's a strategy to the game. Again, it's simple in the premise of you're just moving the stones one at a time and you're basically counting, but there is a strategic component that comes into play so that you can win and maximize the number of stones that you actually collect in your Mancala. Now, when I did this with my son, I got to help him think. I got to teach him, this is why you start here, or this is why you play this one if your opponent does this. We played that game for probably 2 years. And he never beat me. But eventually he caught on to the strategy. And honestly, he caught on really fast. Kids are remarkable in their ability and their capacity to learn. This is why they say things like, if you want to teach your child a second language, do it when they're younger, because they have the ability to just absorb and soak everything in. This is also why they say things like perfect pitch. Perfect pitch is where you can actually produce the note without needing to hear it. You don't need anything else to give you some sort of a indicator as to where you are within the scale of notes. You can just produce it. If I said I want to do a D flat, I could just hum a D flat. Now, I don't have perfect pitch, so I can't do that for you, but it's a neat little trick. But they say you can't develop that beyond the age of like 8 or 10. Just because you get so much information absorbed beyond that point. When kids are little, they have a remarkable capacity to learn. So you can teach them things like strategy, like thinking ahead. And the neat thing is teaching your kids strategic components like that in games, that gives you an opportunity to bring that back up later in life and help them realize the importance and the significance of thinking ahead. So maybe it starts in a game, but maybe it comes time where they're getting ready to graduate high school and they're not sure what they want to do. And you can prompt them and say, well, think about how this plays out. Don't think about what you want to necessarily do right now. Think about what that results in when it's your turn again, in a sense. Think ahead, plan ahead. You can teach these little ideas in games, in strategic games like Mancala, and teaching them this, they catch on so young. And the more they know younger, the more they're just going to dwell on these things and absorb things that fit into this knowledge base and mature that knowledge. It's just going to help them that much more. So playing games gives you time together, and it also gives you the opportunity to teach your kid how to think strategically. Now, here's another lesson that you can teach your kids playing games that are a little bit beyond their capacity initially. And this is a great lesson. You can teach them how to lose. Now, I was a natural born competitor. My wife was the same way. And we see that in our children, especially in Frankie, my oldest. He is a natural born competitor. He is so confident. He told my wife just the other day, everything I do is great. He thinks he is awesome, and he is awesome. But no matter how awesome you are, you will lose. We all fail. We all make mistakes. We all lose. None of us have a perfect record. And so my son, even though he knew we were playing a game that I was trying to teach him, after a few rounds of playing the game, he was convinced he had it figured out. He was convinced he could beat me. And for 2 years, he lost. Now, I don't think that we should patronize our kids. I don't think that we should just give things to them so easy that they should work for and earn. Make them work for it. They're smart. They're capable. Even in this game, Mancala. I have never lost to anybody in this game before. I don't play it all the time, and I don't say that to be oh so braggadocious that I'm just, you know, the alpha when it comes to this game. But I've played my wife, I've played my father-in-law, I've played other people who are not idiots. They're very smart people, but I'm just weirdly good at this game. But I taught my son the way that I think. I taught my son my strategy in playing the game. And he picked it up, and he picked it up really quick. 2 years, when you're talking about a little kid, goes pretty fast. And I remember the day. I remember the day he beat me. And the next day we played, he beat me again. Now, I still obviously have the winning record on him, but he picked it up. But teaching him how to lose, I think that gave him a greater value for when he wins. Now, no one likes to lose. Nobody likes to take the L. We all want the W. But you can teach them the importance of understanding how to lose and the response to have when they lose. Because initially he wanted to cry. He wanted to stop. He wanted to give up. But I explained to him, Frankie, the only way that you can ever win is if you play the game again. If you don't have the courage to play the game again, you'll never win. Everyone loses. You take the loss, you learn from it, and you get up and you play the game again. And again, if you're thinking about what I just talked about with the strategic components, there are other life lessons that are tied to this learning how to lose, because we all lose in life at some point. And some people just want to give up because they don't understand. They think that they have no value. They think that they can never do it. They take the loss and they take it to heart, and then they just lay down and they never get back up again. Teaching little lessons like this, again, it has such an impact, not just now when they're young, but it's something that you can go back to. Maybe they're dealing with some sort of issue as a teenager. Maybe it's when they're an adult. Maybe it's when they get married or they have kids. Whenever that conversation happens for me, where my son feels like he lost, maybe he gets laid off, maybe he gets fired, maybe something like that happens. Maybe he has his first argument with his wife. Dad, I don't know what to do. I just feel like I need to stop. Frankie, you remember that time we played Mancala and you lost for 2 years? How'd you win? You had to play again. You had to get back up. You had to keep trying. There is something that's beautiful in these little lessons that we can teach our kids, and we can teach them through playing little games, simple games. They're for adults, but Mancala is a simple game. And Mancala is not a sponsor of this podcast. I should have worked on that before I did this one. But you can pick your game of choice, whether it's checkers, whether it's chess. That's what we moved on to after we got really good at Mancala. But we still play Mancala. Mancala can teach good little lessons. So you get to teach them how to lose. And that gives them a greater value for when they win. And learning how to lose is a lesson that some people have never learned. And the fact that we can teach it to our kids by having fun and playing games and creating a tradition that we'll have throughout the course of our life, I think that's something that we should gravitate to. Now, the other thing that's really cool with this is you break down barriers. So not every kid is shy. My daughter, Reagan, is probably the shyest of all of them. And JoJo sometimes is a little bit shy. Frankie is pretty confident, but you know, he's had his times where he was a little bit reluctant. But when Frankie started playing Man Colin, he started getting really good at it. Before he ever beat me, he knew he was good because I told him he was doing a good job. He tied me a couple of times, but he never beat me. But even before he beat me, when other people would come over to the house, other adults, my sister, my father-in-law, my parents, whoever it may have been, Frankie wanted to play Man Colin with them. And so he sparked conversation. He was not worried about, and even other friends, not just family members, other friends that came over that he's never really spoken to. He wants to talk to everybody about Mancala. He wants to play everybody in Mancala. He's okay if he loses. He wants to win. He really does. And he's lost some of those matches, but some of those matches he won. And it's really funny to see the look on an adult's face when they lose to a six-year-old in an adult game. That's very funny. That's rewarding. If for nothing else, teach your kid how to play an adult game so they can crush an adult. My wife tried to play him. Oh, this was a few months back, and he crushed her three times in a row. She was convinced that she could win and that the first game was a fluke and that the second game was a fluke. And then on the third game, she just realized he's better than I am at this game now. And I was just like, that's my boy. Anyway, but it breaks down this barrier of shyness. It gets them some exposure to talking to adults, to knowing that they can approach an adult, to knowing that they can have a conversation. And so it might start with, hey, do you want to play this game with me? But this breaks down a bigger barrier of, I have the ability to speak to adults. Maybe an adult says something that they don't like. This kind of opens the door for them to speak up and say, I don't like that. They can express themselves to other adults because they've gotten some practice doing it. And it, maybe, yeah, it's just a game. But they realize, my son realizes, I can talk to adults. That they're not so high and mighty and so above me that I'm not able to speak to them. I can speak to them. I can engage with them. I can do other things with them. And I have just kind of been blown away at how open he has been about wanting to play games with adults. And yes, it's partly due to the fact that he knows he's very good at the game now. And he, like myself, takes pride in crushing people in competition. But nonetheless, it has developed this comfort that I have seen manifest itself in other scenarios. You know what happens? You take your kid out to eat to a restaurant, or you're out and about and adults try to be nice sometimes to your kids, and they'll compliment a shirt, or they'll compliment a watch or a toy, or they'll say something about what the kid is doing to compliment or just to spark some sort of fun conversation. And my son doesn't back down from those conversations. He's totally open to them. Instead of the shy, weird look around that they sometimes do, he will speak back because he's had exposure and practice to responding and to initiating conversation with adults. So I want to encourage you to play these little games with your kids because you can do these wonderful things by doing this. I'm going to recommend Mancala. And then if you like chess, if you're a chess person, I'm trying to be, I'm not great, but I can beat the computer sometimes on the medium level. So I'm getting there, but I'm no, what's his name? Magnus Carlsen, that's his name. I'm not him. I'm not some big chess master. But you pick your game. I'm going to recommend Mancala if you don't have one. It's counting with some strategic component. It can be really competitive, but it can also be really simple. So I'm going to recommend you play Mancala with your kids and you start some sort of a tradition. You might gravitate to a different game and that becomes your tradition. But create a tradition where you and your kids get to play games. Yes, you'll get all of these wonderful other components. Time together. Teaching them how to think strategically. Teaching them how to lose. And then helping them break down barriers of communication between them and other people. Them and other adults. But the beautiful thing that we get from this, that I'm looking forward to, is the tradition. Because I know that when my kids grow up and they move out, they start their own families, they have their own kids, whenever they come back to visit, we're going to open up that Mancala board and we're going to sit down and we're going to play a game or two. And it's just going to be our thing. It's going to be something that we do throughout the rest of our lives. And I love that. I love that we have the ability with things like games, something just so easy and just so much fun, to create this indestructible bridge of bonding time and communication for our relationship. Something like playing a game with your kids contributes to that. And the beautiful thing about that is we have to have relationship with them if we're going to have influence in their life. If we're going to make disciples of our kids, like we are biblically instructed to do, we have to have relationship with them. And so that's what this ties into. Playing games with your kids helps you build a relationship with them. And that relationship gives you grounds to do so many other great things. Yes, you teach them wonderful lessons, but you also get to make disciples in the process. So I'm going to encourage you to play games with your kids. Even though sometimes as adults, we don't want to do those things because we get so busy. I've been trying to move. I've been trying to work on the house. I've managed to also get bronchitis and pink eye. At the same time, I have been overwhelmed. I have been busy, but I have still made time to play games. When JoJo, my three-year-old, says she wants to play Mancala, and I know that she doesn't know any strategic component of the game yet, and I know that I'm going to have to help her move her little pieces and show her where to put them, I still take the time to play that game with her because I know what it's going to turn into. I know what it's going to give me the opportunity to do in her life. So don't be like the disciples who tried to turn the children away because they thought they were not important enough. Have that mentality of Jesus of, no, let the children come over here. Let me have time with them. Let's have that approach to our kids, and let's use games as an avenue to build relationship, to grow our bond with them, and that will help us make disciples of our kids. I know it's simple, but making disciples really isn't that difficult. You just have to have relationship. That requires time, that requires intentionality, and games gives you the ability to do that. So I'm going to encourage you to play games with your kids. Mancala is my recommendation, but you pick the game that you think is best, one that you're good at. I know there's several others out there, but play something that gives you the opportunity to teach your kids wonderful lessons, that give you the opportunity and your child an opportunity to have fun and start a tradition that just helps your relationship flourish and that ultimately helps you make disciples. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for laughter. We thank you for fun. It is a great medicine and it is so helpful for us. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be intentional about something that seems so simple, but that has such a profound effect on the life of our children. Help us to play games. Help us to make time to play games with our kids, to start traditions where we break away from media, we break away from programming, we break away from games on tablets or whatever it might be, and face-to-face, we play games with our kids. And help us in those moments to be present so that we can laugh and have fun, so that we can build relationships, so that we can teach them important lessons that are not only applicable to the game, but they're also applicable to life. Help us to be present, involved, and intentional in these moments so that our child sees the joy in our face because we get to have time with them. And let this spark something that becomes a tradition so that our relationship with our children can flourish. And in that, help us to grow in love with one another and to be the disciples that you've called us to be as we bring up other disciples in our children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as always, this is Fathering Our Future. I'm Anthony Vandegrift. I'm your partner with you in this thing called fatherhood. If you ever need anything, you know how to get a hold of me. You can reach out to me through social media. Just look for Fathering Our Future, or you can send an email to fatheringourfuture@gmail.com, and I'll help you however I can. Before I sign off, say a quick prayer for me, because I'm with this pink eye gone and I don't want to have bronchitis. So I would appreciate that. But again, this is Fathering Our Future, and I'm Anthony Vandegrift. Thank you for being with me, and I hope you will join me next time. I want to thank you again for listening to Fathering Our Future and for endeavoring to grow as a dad. But I want to ask you to become more than just a subscriber. I want to ask you to consider becoming a supporter of Fathering Our Future. Whether it's a one-time gift today or a monthly commitment, whatever you give, it's not too small. It will contribute to Fathering Our Future, continuing to grow and to expand and to reach dads. All you have to do is go to fatheringourfuture.com, click the donate button, and give whatever you would like to give. Thank you, and God bless.